even got here. Anyway, what I'd like to do today is to share with you some basic insights about finding the right wife. It's a very important decision. Probably the most important decision you'll make in your life. Not a very easy one to make. The investment is tremendous. The benefits can be endless. And the wrong decision can be tragic. I think by definition, just with that introduction, one thing we all realize that we need, and that's divine guidance. Because there is no one other than Hashem himself who could really know and guide us appropriately as to who's the right one for me. As much as we get to know people, as much as we think we understand them, as much as we seem to feel some connection, it's never the total person. It's never the total experience. It's not tested by the realities of life. And therefore, it's something that we definitely need divine guidance. This parsha, in Parshas Chayesorah, there happens to be the format, not necessarily all the details for us, but the format of divine guidance. Because Eliezer was charged to find the proper wife for Yitzchak. He was told where to go, which family to find, the family of Suel, Soros, Mishpocha. And he was given a mission with certain very specific guidelines. He had to determine, when he gets there, how is he going to know who the right girl is? And he makes himself a sign. Now, let's not think that we can deal directly with Hashem the way Eliezer, Eved Avrohom, dealt with Hashem, because he grew up in a house, he lived in a house where Avraham Avinu and he, I guess, they spoke directly to Hashem. It was a different world. We're not holding by such levels. But what he did was, he said like this. He took, and this is what Rashi explains, he took a sign that would be indicative that this could be the right person, worthy of Avraham Avinu's family, and he says to Hashem, he says, when I reach this place, and he had all these camels that he had to take care of, and he says, when I will ask this person to give me whatever to drink, and this person will say, Gam Gmalecho Ashke, she'll say, I will also service your camels and bring them water. Now, drawing water those days is not like taking a hose. You know, I guess they had to go to a well, and they had to, you know, bucket by bucket and bring. And imagine Chazal say that she may have been 3 years old, Rivka. So imagine this 3-year-old girl carrying this big bucket and schlepping water for all of these camels. And he must have had a lot of camels too, because Avram was a rich man and he didn't send Eliezer alone on camelback just by himself. So, and he says, the one that will say, Gam Gamalecha Ashke, Uiso Hoichachtol Avdecho LeYitzchok. This is the one that I will know that you appointed for Yitzchok. And Rashi explains that she'll be worthy of entering Avraham Avinu's house by dint of the fact that he sees that she does chesed. And he sees, and I guess he must have seen, it wasn't such a simple chesed, and I guess he must have seen to the depth of her being to see how deeply appreciative and feeling for this chesed she was. And that was the sign to him, because that was indicative that she has in herself the qualities that are needed to enter the house of Avraham Avinu. And we see from here that we really have to look for a sign from Hashem to know that this is the right one. Now, unfortunately, we can't make a deal with Hashem and say, hey, the one that's going to say, I'll give you get your camels also, first of all, you ain't got camels. And second of all, we can't speak so directly and so confidently to Hashem. We're not really worthy of that level of communication. So we have to find something else. But we know that we want to know the one who is Hoychachto Le'avdecho, the one that you have appointed. In Yiddish they call it, what do they call it? You know the word? The Bashert, the one that has been preordained. Chazal say that 40 days before the child is born, a baskol goes out. I don't know where that baskol is. It would be interesting to be able to hear it before, but we don't know. And says, this one is for this one. And preordains the proper match. And we want to know that one. We want to know the one that Hashem says, hey, this is the one that you will live happily ever after with. That's what we want. But we don't have the ability just to say, the one that'll say, I'll do this, I'll do that. We can't do that. So what do we do instead? But before we get there, I'd like to ask you something else. They went now to Besuel's house, and they asked if Rivka will come to Eretz Yisrael, because Yitzchok was not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, what would have happened? Avraham made her make a shvur. She's not. Yitzchok will not go there. What would have happened had Rivka said no? She's not coming with Eliezer. Anybody know? What? Well, no, but Yitzchok would not leave Eretz Yisrael. That seems clear. In other words, Eliezer would be, that's what you mean, Eliezer would be free of his shvua, but Yitzchok can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Do you know why Yitzchok couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael? The halacha is you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for a shidduch. You're allowed for three reasons. For a shidduch, to learn Torah, and for parnosa. But Yitzchok was on the Akedah. Yitzchok was this oyla tmimo. Yitzchok was this supercharged, pure tzaddik. For him, it was lifnim mishur hadin. It wasn't appropriate for him to leave. I ask you a question. Eliezer already had a sign that this is the right one. Oyso hichachto l'avdecho l'Yitzchok. She's the one that was appointed for Yitzchok. Now, if she says she's not going, no more shidduch. What do you mean? You have a sign for Hashem? Very interesting question. The answer is quite obvious. Even if a person has a sign that this is the right one, if it means compromising my religious values, then it's not a sign. I made a mistake. It's not a sign. I signed for Hashem. Eliezer had direct communication, but no. The sign has to be in the context of doing what's right. And this leads us to what could be understood as a very practical formula. I like to say that finding the right wife, there are basically four courses involved. Not courses of a meal, but like courses in school. The first course is computer science. What do I mean? On paper. Check it out. Seems good. Similar background, similar interests, similar goals. Got the basic ingredients of the kind of person that I would want to spend the rest of my life with. That's the first course. Second course is chemistry. Chemistry means, and again, we're looking for those things that indicate signs, just like he said, we're looking for signs that this could be the right one, the one that I could actually live the rest of my life with, the one that I could be comfortable knowing that I made the right choice. Second, chemistry. What is chemistry? We talk together. Hey, it's enjoyable. We can communicate. We have a conversation. That's nice. That's fine. Third course is biology. Not only do we have conversation, but there's an attraction. I feel, something that draws us together, and don't have to go into that too much right now. The fourth course is optional. Do you know what the fourth course is? Astronomy. You know what astronomy is? What? Seeing stars. You don't have to see stars. Hollywood has taught you that you have to see stars. Not necessarily so. Some people will only see stars after they're engaged. Some people will only see stars after they're married. Some people will only see stars after the first time she takes the baseball bat and hits him over the head. You don't have to see stars. There are people that just, you know, we're interested. We enjoy each other's company. We're attracted, and we want to get married. These are the signs. The stars is not necessarily part of the signs. You may wonder, why are we going into this now? It happens to be it's in the parsha, but it's important to have in the back of your mind. Basically, we want the one. After all is said and done, if that one means compromising my religious values, then all of these signs are worthless. All of these signs don't mean anything, because that's the greatest sign. I have to do that for which I was put in this world to accomplish, and there's no shidduch that has the right or has the ability to renegotiate that sense of direction. So these are some of the ideas involved. And why do I think it's important for you people to hear this? I really don't buy that in the next 2 years you plan to get married. I don't think there's anybody in this room. Well, maybe, I don't know, but I doubt it. But what I do think is important is to have in the back of our minds that it's so important to keep this system in mind. Now, there's ways to compromise this system. For example, what if you take the courses out of order? You know, there are prerequisites in school, right? You can't take Algebra 2 unless you took Algebra 1. I don't know what exactly, you know, they keep changing the names for these courses. You can't take calculus unless you took pre-calculus. You can't take chemistry and biology seriously unless you took the computer science course. Unless first it makes sense on paper, then it makes no difference. Who did chemistry? Who did biology? Everything that Hollywood ever tried to poison my mind with, I feel right now. If you didn't take the computer science, if it doesn't seem right, you know, it's not going to be right. And all these signs are only signs when they're done in the proper order. And I say this because many people make the mistake. They meet somebody and they think, oh, this is it. We have to first know that this could be it, that it makes sense for us, that it's where we want to end up, that it makes sense on paper. Only then can we begin the process. Now, far too many people have made the mistake. You know, they meet someone first and they like the person. Then they try to take the computer science course. It doesn't work. You know why? Because the mind is biased. The mind is prejudiced. Because when I like someone already, then when I try to evaluate whether it really makes sense, my mind is not working properly. Everybody knows, I think you know, you should know, we all should know, that the mind doesn't work in a vacuum. Our minds are very much influenced and controlled by our emotions. And when emotionally I'm thinking a certain thing should be good, I wish it would be good, I want it to be good, I feel that it's good, then I can't always evaluate intellectually whether it's good. And that can be suicidal, dangerous. Because if I'm not with my mind clearly evaluating, I can make huge mistakes. So it's very important that this way, and of course this is the process which, you know, in our world today, they call it, I guess, for lack of a better word, shidduch dating. You know, I guess because in the world they have this other kind of dating, I'm not sure what that is. But this is the way it works. Because this way I can use my mind and my judgment for as long as possible to figure out, does this really make sense? Because a relationship with a person has to be based on what makes sense in the mind and what it feels in the heart. If it's just what it feels in the heart and the heart is allowed to blind the mind, you don't see anything. You can't. I'm blind. If I'm blind, I don't see. So I think these are some points that are important to keep in mind. I don't recommend that we should be thinking about getting married in the next near future. But I do think that you should store this away someplace in the back of your brains, or maybe in the depths of your heart, that at the time when it's relevant, or at times when it's not relevant and somebody might be tempted to make it relevant, these ideas will help you.